All right, live action meeting animation in various things. This here is an example of a stand-up. You can see the woman there with the various characters from Zootopia. And they had these maybe at the Disney store or something like that. And maybe some people got to take it home and keep it. I don't know what. But you could actually be in the world of Zootopia. Although, of course, according to the canon of the movie, humans don't exist. But that was still kind of fun. Now, I got a bunch of clips. I'm going to talk about different things. Although, I'm actually going to play a couple songs. This has nothing to do with the subject, but this is kind of fun. This is two songs that a lot of us know from cartoons, going back a while. Whoops. About a lot of these old songs, they would do an instrumental and then have the vocals come in, and you know, people would go out on the dance floor and everything, but they would usually do a run through, as you can tell, as an instrumental, but then the vocals do come in. So yeah, this and the other tune, Merrily We Roll Along, of course they used in Looney Tunes Merry Melodies.
The Merry Melodies, yeah.
And back then it was like the 30s, these were fairly new songs. I want to say Eddie Cantor might have been the other one. Sometimes Warner Brothers would own the rights to certain songs and feature them, like maybe Babyface or Singing in the Bathtub. They would, because they own the rights, you know, might as well put it in the cartoon. And then the other one real quick is this one right here.
Too many brown campaigns of writers' disposition. That's what we're talking about. That every joy in life has been our one ambition. And that's how we invent the world. Merrily we roll along, for hunting and need. Verily there's no one half as happy as we. So it's wise as far as my say, what do we care?
Okay, now I'm going to talk again, live action and animation mixed. When they found a way to use the cells and everything and put them up against live action scenes that were done, they got some good results. And also there were publicity photos, different people like Hanna and Barbera, Walter Lantz and so on. They'd have their characters and they'd pose them with them and things like that. Disney was known for that as well. One of the early classics, this was 1940s, yes, this is going to be colorized. And I got to find the right one. It is You Ought to Be in Pictures with Porky Pig. And now I got to find it. It was here. Let's see, it's none of those. Looney Tunes, here it is, yeah. This may have influenced Roger Rabbit a little bit and things like that. Not the whole tune. You know, they put a shadow under it, kind of, a little bit. Well before industry light and magic. I think, yeah, there's a shadow, yeah. Benny the Cab and Roger Rabbit certainly brings back memories here. 13 cents a gallon, is that what that says? Something like that. I got some other things here now. I'm actually only able to play part of this. This is a video for Kirsty MacColl covering a Kink song called Days, and in the middle of it there's an animated sequence which I think seems inspired by Mary Poppins, Yossi the Fox. This was a big hit in England, this song. My mic, I think, was turned off, but not a big deal. The mic was, but it's not a huge deal, but maybe for later. Oh, yeah, that's right, you were saving the heat. Oh, good. Thanks. Again, Disney doing like Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Mary Poppins, Pete's Dragon, where you have the live action animation mix. You see the fox again briefly. Maybe not. So that, of course, a music video. Now, a couple other ones that were like that. One that I think of right away was Paula Abdul. This was a classic. 90-something. I'm not sure who MC Scat Cap is or was, but someone was doing it.
She makes the bed and he feels the cover. and he's always drunk. I don't like cigarettes, I like smoke. I think they come in
just a one.
But when we get together, we have nothing but fun.
Like a minus, she's like a plus. One going up, one coming down. Always seem to land on common ground. Things get wrong, we make corrections to keep things moving in the right direction. Try to play it, but I'm telling you, Jack, it's useless. I'm gonna sit the track.
We made something
while
we left it this long.
You and me proving everyone wrong.
Match. I take 2 steps forward,
I take 2 steps back.
We come together, things opposites attract, and you know.
I don't know if they did anything else with that character or the other ones, if they did anything else beyond this, like a more videos or anything. I don't know if this is the only one. Maybe, but.
We come together in some ways.
Not too long after Roger Rabbit. Now, Paula, of course, had to react to nothing. You know, same thing as Bob Hoskins to Roger Rabbit and things like that. But they would draw the animation in later and match it and make it look like she was strangling the cartoon character. And notice the smoke came out and everything. They had the same sort of thing in Roger Rabbit where they would feature water or smoke or whatever or things like that. Now, this is, she's been around a while, Cher. This is for MTV and all that. Doing I Get You, Babe.
If I need to be flower. Wow.
Looks like
what's the music?
This sounds like one.
This is good. Yeah, they poke fun at Sonny Bono, of course. She was having hits like in the mid-60s. This must have been around 90 or so, or a little later. Or even the 80s. I can't remember exactly.
I mean, this song I want to say was late 70s. That
song. Well, the song was 65, 66. The original Sonny and Cher, I Get You, Babe.
Yeah.
And later it got covered by UB40, kind of a reggae version. But the original was from 65, 66. This was either 80s or 90s. I'm trying to remember when Beavis and Butthead came out.
I want to say they were 90s.
Maybe, yeah.
Serves.
And then later you had King of the Hill, and then they took the character Daria and kind of spun it off. Only Mike Judge didn't do Daria. They gave it to someone else, but it originally was a character on Beavis and Butthead. I mean, early on, they did a couple shorts like Frog Baseball. You know, they were little things, and that's what introduced the characters. And eventually MTV brand them on Liquid Television. Animating her now, Cher.
I got you.
guess there was a character on Beavis and Butthead that was a neighbor or something, and the voice sounded an awful lot like Hank Hill, you know, same sort of thing.
Is that that dude that's like a cop in San Diego?
The mayor, Palm Springs.
He's a wuss.
Yeah, later on, of course, sadly, he died in a skiing accident, if I remember right.
So, like, sheriff, I heard you're like, you know, into young dudes.
Yeah, well, you feeling lucky, brother? You know, all you had to do is just...
She was doing pretty good with some movies.
Get out of here.
Yeah, she was doing like Moonstruck and things like that. Okay, they suggested Kid Video. Now, Kid Video, it looked like you had live action people transforming into cartoons and they were put into a cartoon world, but that was the thing. They were cartoons. They were not live action in a cartoon world. Like, for example, in the scene where Eddie Valiant winds up in Toontown. So that's a little different. Maybe I'll play it later, I don't know what. Now, I played this in the first panel. This was a commercial with Top Cat, a bank in Canada, I believe.
You're big shake. Good morning. Can I help?
You got indeed, my dear. I was hoping to borrow you from a little moolah.
Moolah?
I need to borrow a little money for a new home.
Right. Should we take a seat?
Benny, you're up. My previous home has been destroyed, carried away by the trash men on the orders of Officer Dipple, and callously crushed.
Oh, that's awful. You poor thing.
I love that old home. Please help me buy a new one. Just think of the children.
Oh. No problem.
Really? No problem? I'm Betty. Enough with the violin.
Okay, T.C.
Now then, let's get down to business.
Okay. Shall we start with your name?
Tom Cat!
Why, Officer Dibble, welcome to my humble abode. Won't you come in? Me and the boys are having a pool game in the library.
Yeah, Top Cat is very popular in Mexico, so they made a couple films recently. Top Cat, the movie, and Top Cat Returns. They were both done in Mexico, but of course, you eventually got dubbed here in English and things like that. Now, one of the things in the 60s, this must have been around 68. Hanna-Barbera took an adaptation of Huck Finn. This was originally its own series, then it got shown on the Banana Splits. So this is The Adventures of Huck Finn. And it's kind of based here on Lilliput. And they always had Injun Joe, who was played by Ted Cassidy. The one that was Lurch. Yeah. Or voiced by, you know, very deep voice. They wound up in a cartoon world, basically. And then about the year after this, or maybe the same year, Hanna-Barbera did do a Gulliver series, but that one was totally animated.
Majesty, King Bingham of Lilliput. I show you respect, giant.
They obviously didn't have to pay the rights of the Gulliver idea.
Yeah.
You know, kind of public domain by then. That gives you an idea on that. So there's a whole bunch of things. Now, this has also popped up on commercials and things. Now, this here, very long-running ads. They've had totally animated ads for Frosted Flakes. This one is animation meets live action, although it's two animated characters.
Tony,
you look hungry. Come start your good breakfast with Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes cereal. The secret frosting makes it extra crunchy, extra delicious.
I know. Flakes of corn with just the right amount of frosting for kids and adults.
How did I teach you to say it?
It's good.
He may be Mr. Breakfast to the rest of the world, but you know what you are to me.
Your little Tony.
I'm so proud of him. Listen up straight.
Yeah. Thurl Ravenscroft, of course, featured on a lot of musical selections with his deep voice, and You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. That was him singing that in the original Grinch. Okay. Here's, this must have been 60s and 70s or 70s. This is Bugs Bunny.
Billy, there's a new drink
there. The
Grinch in town.
The Grinch are scrumptious.
Isn't it delicious?
Yeah.
They're well.
You'll love them, especially mine.
Let me taste.
Oh, great.
Who's there?
Bunny, please.
Sure.
What's up, Doc?
New Bugs Bunny and Al's Drink Mix.
100% nutritious, 100% vitamin C.
And once in a while, they would have a TV special or something and put some animated characters in and make it look fairly effective. This is Brian and Stewie of Family Guy on the Emmys. This was 2007.
Tonight, from the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences presents Emmy Awards in 29 categories, honoring the very best of television in the past year. For a slightly different point of view, however, please welcome from the Family Guy, making their Emmy debut, Brian and Stewie Griffin.
You're not privileged to live in this particular age of television programming.
Really? You think so? Seems to me that nearly all television these days is complete trash.
Yes, quite right. But never before in history have we had such a wide selection of trash.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Of course I'm right. For example,
we've got Benjamin Franklin, the red giant in the south.
Just a little boy from India who made us all say wow.
With a voice that makes you wanna just go out and kill a cow.
Here's a bad situation, cause there's no regulation. If you want it, you can find it on TV.
We've got Scrubs on NBC in season 7.5, with the antics of the lovable and talented Zach Braff.
Who reminds us that a sitcom doesn't have to make you laugh?
You can drive to
the
top.
And if you want it, you can find it on TV. And if you start to crave a brand new TV thrill, they're always brewing up some brand new primetime thrill.
That's the guy who came in.
No, I think I'm getting the idea, Stewie.
You see?
Absolutely. Hey, how about this? ABC has got a line of just pushing and a vibe. With its hits like Desperate Housewives, just continuing to thrive.
And the thriller looks sensational for being 65.
Don't
we?
Washington is taking
got the chorus. If you want it, you can find it on TV. Now the Sopranos is a show I recommend.
Because you never know just how it's gonna.
Last episode, James Gandolfini. Poor guy's dead now, yeah. His son is going to be in the sequel series, though.
That I didn't care.
Yep. The Many Saints of Newark, it's called. I remember his first name. All right. Now, Seth MacFarlane has gotten some obscure songs. That was originally in a musical called Take Me Along. It was called Volunteer Fireman's Picnic. But a lot of us remember it because he made it into the freaking FCC.
Right.
Okay, so he did that. And then there was a song in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang called Me Old Bamboo, Me Old Bamboo, Me Old Bamboo, da 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 da. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Everyone looks better with a bag of weed. You never saw that episode. They had an episode about legalizing pot.
Yeah.
So again, they took an old song from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Okay. Now I am gonna. I don't know if we want to do too much. I do have the whole Roger Rabbit thing. It's a long thing, but just to deal with it, when that movie was made, it took a while to do the special effects, but a lot of things came out right. Quite a bit of it was filmed in England. Okay, so they had Bob Hoskins and Christopher Lloyd and all the other people and everything. They had a bit of an all-star cast. And so you had memorable characters, and then the whole thing with the special effects. You would have Roger, you know, putting his hand on something or his paw and taking out, and you could see paw prints. They would add those in. So ILM would throw those in. And everything looks so real. And in most of the movie, you're in the real live world with animated characters thrown in until, of course, he goes to Toontown. And they have Sheena Hyena and things like that. When I saw that, it was 1988, I was blown away, just like I got blown away by Zootopia 5 years ago. And, you know, I got the video and all that sort of thing. Zemeckis had done some pretty interesting things with the Back to the Future movies. He was doing Back to the Future 2 and 3, filming them and going back and forth between that and Roger Rabbit, and then they had a lot of the same special effects people doing it. It was a lot of work, but you can see the effects on the screen. And then you have the Space Jam thing. Now, again, I have not seen, I think I saw the first one years ago. Did not see the new one. I'm not into basketball. But I guess the original did have live-action animation mixed.
Yes.
That had Michael Jordan. The new one has LeBron James. And because I'm not into basketball, you know. So, but they, I guess they must be doing the same sort of thing.
Yeah, they did that really well. Because there's one scene in particular from the original that I remember very well. Because there's a scene where Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck have to go find Michael Jordan's lucky basketball shoes. So you see them, like, tunneling under Michael Jordan's backyard and, like, sneaking through his house and throwing everything all over trying to find his shoes. It's great. It's a great way to integrate.
Where did
that.
These come out of? It came out of TV commercials. Was it McDonald's, I think? They had Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny and everything. Or was it Air Jordans? I think, well, see, there were actually a couple different ones. But they made that into the movie. And they had a lot of merchandising, and it did pretty well. They're trying to do the same thing with this one. But I've heard some people say, yeah, maybe some people like it.
Yeah,
I'm
sure some people like it. But, like, I mean, you and I were talking about it beforehand. It's like, I think they're just trying to make lightning strike twice.
They are, yeah. Now, Space Jam, so it's Space Jam and New Legacy and everything. They are doing some projects, or at least they're in the works. There is supposed to be a Pink Panther, a Pink Panther one that would be not, of course, Inspector Clouseau, but the character, the Pink Panther. Drawn in into real live action. There was also talk of doing Hong Kong Phooey. There may be other ones as well. So we'll have to see what happens. And then there have been certain movies where they did it for a segment, you know? So I guess this is the new one right here.
I need to assemble a lead team to help get my son back.
I know what you're looking for.
Dream
team. Come on, shoot the ball.
Okay, that's funny.
King James.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
Because, of course, they got the Hanna-Barbera rights.
Yeah, of course.
Introducing the Goon Squad!
You gotta win this game.
Let's end this.
Dad, you cry?
And get our son back.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe I'll catch it eventually. Now, some people like it, some people, eh, who knows? But I'm not sure how it did financially, whether it was a flop or what.
I think I have honestly no idea.
No, who knows? But a lot of these things now you're streaming. A lot of them you don't have to go out. So I guess it's HBO Max or something. You can get it that way. Now, I don't have the clip here, but I saw the Tom and Jerry movie that came out a couple months ago. They finally were able to open up the theaters again. So I saw it at this little mom-and-pop theater in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And when I say mom-and-pop, the father sells you the ticket, the mother is behind the popcorn concession, and the son is sweeping up the aisles. There's like three employees, okay? And I've seen some other movies there, like Boss Baby, The Ant Bully, and so on. But so I saw the Tom and Jerry movie. Now, in that movie, you do have the two characters. I don't believe they ever do speak, but there are some... anthro animals, there were some alley cats and everything that do speak. And in one of the early shots, they show someone walking a dog, and the dog is toony. Not realistic, but toony as in, you know, like that. So I thought it was kind of interesting. I like the idea of a real, you know, if the real world you had characters like that.
Yeah.
If you had, say, Tom and Jerry and all that sort of thing. And by the way, getting back to Space Jam, people might be wondering, why is it the Toon Squad, T-U-N-E, instead of T-O-O-N? Well, of course, it's Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
So they want to impress that on everybody. Because when you think Roger Rabbit, it's T-O-O-N, but they were embracing that. Well, it probably did pretty well. And even if it didn't do good in this country, it probably is going to make its money overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And you do have people who are streaming it. You get people, you can watch it on your phone, you can rent it that way, things like that. So you don't have to go to the theater. Whether they make their money back, I don't know. But there will be other movies coming out where you will have that. Maybe there'll be TV series. Actually, there might be something with Bob Zemeckis where it's kind of like Roger Rabbit in the live-action animation mix. It might, and Bob Zemeckis, I think, is part of it. So that might be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know. And after Roger Rabbit came out, you had a whole renaissance of animation. And Steven Spielberg, of course, had all the things like, you know, the Tiny Toon Adventures and all that. That was a huge movie.
That's right, because he did Tiny Toons. I mean, obviously, he did Animaniacs. I mean, that needs no introduction.
Oh, exactly. But things like TV commercials, again, you will see them, and you will see live action and animation mixed, like what you saw with Tony the Tiger. So that's pretty popular. So you have maybe a still shot, like what I showed you at the beginning with the woman in the subway there in Zootopia. You got TV commercials, TV series, movies, and so on. And because animated movies tend to do pretty well, then it's something to look forward to. Now, I don't know if there's something that would be interesting. Now, I think I posed this question on Facebook. They are going to do Zootopia the series on Disney Plus, and maybe eventually there'll be a Zootopia 2. So I said, would you like it if they were to take the Zootopia characters animated and put them in real scenes? I myself would not mind that. Of course, again, strictly animals, no humans. But to have Nick, Judy, Klarhauser, and all those others, I think it might be kind of interesting. They are keeping things under wraps. Now, I mean, it can take a couple years to make a movie.
Oh, sure.
So they finally did confirm recently, yes, the series is coming. But I will say there are people that, let me see if I can find it. There are people that will do a drawing of an animated character in a live setting. Let me go to, Fur Affinity, okay. Because I found one, for example, that goes back to the Flintstones. Okay, Fur Affinity, and then Mike Cazala. Mike has done a bunch of different things. I got to find where it is. Mike Cazala. help if I spelled it right, because they let. Because I just saw this morning, I think. I should just put, yeah, it's here somewhere, but okay, Mike, search. And, oh, you know what? I put it in my Facebook group. I just want to show it to everyone. Facebook. I think it's under Classic Cartoons. By the way, I do the Classic Cartoon group. We've got almost 3,000 people, and it's a lot of fun. I hope I just had it. SS. So just for fun, where is it? A little further down. And there it is. This is a cup. This is obviously based on the Flintstones, the Flintstone Flyer, Fred and Barney with the flying machine. But of course, they made them into furries. And it says, "On their way to the bowling tournament in Burbank, cave furries over Van Nuys." But Mike Cazale, who has done a whole bunch of great things over the years, so there you go. He took a. He's been known to do that before. Take a photo, and then draw it in. So that's another interesting thing you can do. Well, any questions? We've got 10 minutes before 8. Any questions about that sort of thing? I always like the idea. I like the idea of merging the two. So, what do you think? Any other ideas? Because
I
think
really
I covered most of what I wanted. The Roger Rabbit thing, that's basically a thing on how they made the film, but, you know.
Yeah, and I think Roger Rabbit worked for that because of the story they were trying to tell and the narrative they were trying to portray. I think it really does. It matters what story and what characters are being used,
right,
whether I'd want to see something imposed into a live-action setting or not. Because to take your example, right, of Zootopia, I think keeping that fully animated offers a lot of freedom that you wouldn't necessarily get,
right,
by imposing it into live set. At least in my mind, you would lose more than you would gain. But for something like Roger Rabbit, obviously that was a massive appeal to the movie. That was a huge,
yeah,
pull, and it's a major reason why it has so much appeal and charm, because they managed to integrate those two very, very,
right,
nicely.
And I forget who said it, but someone said something along the lines of the three most important things in a movie or whatever are characters, characters, and characters. The characters are likable, whether,
yes,
they're live-action, animated, or whatever. We fell in love with the story and everything. Bob Hoskins, sadly no longer with us. Some of the other people, Mel Blanc, among his last roles, were doing things for that.
Personalities. That's
among
right, he wasn't.
Around 88, 89. There's actually things on YouTube showing early Roger Rabbit, and it looked a lot different. The character acted different. They had to have someone in there, in the car.
Prima Donna. He knows he's the biggest star in the Maroon cartoons, and you know, he's a cigar chomping, martini drinking little guy.
The ladies say that.
My problem is I got a 50-year-old lust and a 3-year-old baby.
They got away with that joke.
Characters, the most eye-opening is Roger's wife.
Kathleen Turner's voice.
Yeah.
Together,
that's an old blues song, an old jazz
Rabbit
song. Why Don't You Do Right?
Husband and wife team in cartoon history.
Come on, Roger, let's go home. I'll bake you a carrot cake.
Kathleen Turner is the voice of Jessica.
I think that Jessica and Roger Rabbit work so well together because they are such opposites.
Oh, honey, honey. Oh, love
cow. To me, the fun is the contrast between the reality of her and the wimpishness of this rabbit, you know, and like how these two attracted to each other.
Seriously, what do you see in that guy?
He makes me laugh.
There you go.
What makes the best tune romances compelling is that in them we can see much of ourselves. There's the initial rush of young love.
Love at first sight, is it not?
No?
The tender moments of the mature relationship.
When the water your love is.
And scenes of domestic bliss.
Porky Pig, shut those
kids up! I can go to
bed, I can love again, dear. As important as romantic couples are to cartoons, equally vital is a treacherous villain.
I'll huff and I'll blow your house in.
Peter Pan will be blasted out.
out of Neverland forever.
I love you.
These characters wouldn't be in it because they were post 47. Like Alice in Wonderland was 50 or something, 59. So you wouldn't see these characters in Roger Rabbit because it was too. It was afterwards. They wanted to be accurate.
In the tradition of the past, Who Framed Roger Rabbit introduces the most frightful villain a toon has ever faced. The maniacal
Christopher Lloyd, straight from Back to the Future.
Doom is the essence of destruction. Doom is evil. Doom is everything that's evil.
Historically, toons such as Roger have proven to be indestructible. No human could hope to survive even the most routine day in Roger's life. Seemingly, no amount of physical abuse can do a toon serious harm. But all that has changed, for Judge Doom has found a way to permanently do in a toon.
Obviously, you can't hurt a toon by throwing him off a cliff. I mean, we all know that.
Wiley Coyote.
But since cartoons are basically made of, you know, paint and celluloid and ink, Judge Doom came up with a chemical, and it's been nicknamed the Dip.
With this mixture of turpentine and other deadly chemicals, Doom has a ghastly weapon with which he can literally melt Roger into oblivion.
There'd be nothing left but an oily paint slip. It's rough, and it's not pretty.
Oh my God, it's
dead! In the tradition of toon heroes of the past, it's Roger Rabbit to the rescue.
Yes, it's me, my dearest. I love when Daisy was first. I have to satisfy my sense of morality.
Come down, you buck-toothed fool.
Dr. Doom, please don't play antibiotic, because we're not stupid.
You mean the rabbit with the orange pants, the big floppy ears, the mud teeth, and the clodhopper feet?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Bringing the story of Eddie and Roger to the screen requires
a pipe, which they drew over, you know, so they hide it, obviously, when the water comes out.
One is using human actors, and the other using strictly cartoons.
That's Joanna Cassidy. She was the waitress in the restaurant there, yeah.
I was just beginning to explain how complicated it was to bring you into the picture.
Dolores, I think.
May I continue?
That's just reused animation from,
I think you may
from the
remember
movie.
The scene.
Oh, we could do a panel on reused animation. Robin Hood and a whole bunch of other things where they took the same animation and took it.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, there we go. There's the pipe.
Human actors had to perform opposite thin air.
It'll look kind of like an Invisible Man movie until you put the cartoons in, and then it'll be whole. We need that to create the illusion that the cartoon characters had to move things in the physical world.
To accomplish this goal, Zemeckis called on the very special talents of the puppeteer.
It's my task to supervise the 15 puppeteers that we're using to operate the different props that Roger Rabbit holds and the cartoon characters move.
No stone in time.
For the effect of a gun being held by the weasel, all it took was a spool of thread and the skilled hand of the puppeteer. To complete the illusion, special effects technicians added a mechanical arm for the more precise movements of the gun. In addition, devices were installed in the sink to simulate the thrashings of a frantic, waterlogged Roger. Lastly, Hoskins himself operated the handcuffs with slight movements of his wrist. It was this attention to detail that produced the seamless interaction between the real world and the world of animation.
Step out of line and we'll hang you and your laundry out to dry.
Come on, boy. Let's
dance.
Eddie, I was thrilled. You saved my life. How could I ever repay you?
For starters, don't ever kiss me again.
ability of Bob Hoskins to relate to his invisible co-stars as though they were actually there.
My job is to make it feel right. You know what I mean? To make it, to actually make a relationship with thin air.
Although imagining the invisible Toon characters eventually became second nature to all of us, on occasion it was necessary to enlist the aid of a rather unusual stand-in.
We had these Plexi dolls built because when you're pointing the camera at nothing, it's very difficult to know, well, where's the rabbit? We cut the rabbit's ears off? I mean, has he got an ear room?
But yeah. More importantly, we actors used the rubber rocket.
Yeah, kind of a life-size rocket raccoon for the Guardians movies.
Yeah, no lower than that.
So I'm looking at his own
space.
Just as Hoskins had to struggle with his invisible co-star, so did other actors who appeared opposite Toons. In Mary Poppins, Dick Van Dyke found shooting the penguin dance scene to be a difficult task.
There was a lot of retakes because I would be looking too high, too low, too far back, or my hand would be just a fraction of an inch off. But I was so thrilled when I finally saw that sequence. There was actually a contact, a relationship with those penguins.
Penguin is a waiter at the Ink and Paint Club.
In Invitation to the Dance, Gene Kelly's biggest problem was convincing the studio the film would work.
The studio was skeptical. I got my good friend Walters in to tell the studio that it could be done. And with Walt's help, we did it. Imagination plays everything. It's all in your head. Like Columbus on uncharted sea.
The important role imagination plays in acting with Toons was not lost on Bob Hoskins. Surprisingly, he found inspiration at home while watching his three-year-old daughter at play.
She's got a lot of these pretend characters she plays with. Just to watch her move with someone. Across the room. She's got that vision, that person there. Maybe that's him. Maybe we've got ghosts. I don't know.
One of them big take three.
Yeah, it's like working with a ghost that only you can see.
But Hoskins sometimes wondered just who was running the show.
And you spend 5 months dreaming up weasels and rabbits, you know, they start to get out of control.
Although Hoskins was aware that the film would be a major test of his acting ability, he was quite unprepared for the physical toll the film would take.
Let's do it again. Let's try that again.
The stunt person. Unless I don't know. Maybe he is doing that one, yeah.
If this had gone on any longer, I think I'd have been in hospital.
I never told Bob what kind of physical punishment he was going to get the next day because that would just be too depressing.
Yeah.
I could kill him sometimes. I planned to murder him at one point, but I couldn't get any arsenic from anywhere.
Although the film was no picnic for Hoskins, the special effects technicians had an even more difficult time developing the devices that would meld Roger into the real world.
He's handed a real glass and a real drinker, and then he drinks it up through there, so the liquid is taken up through there like this, and it goes like that.
However, the mechanical arm's range of movement was limited to one direction. To achieve greater flexibility and a wider range of movement, new arms were developed using state-of-the-art servo-controlled motors.
This is what we developed.
There's technology now that can probably run rings around this. This is 88.
Whatever movement we make with our arms, this one follows the same way we see.
It's 8 o'clock, and it's supposed to be something at 8:30.
You can make it move.
I I'm going to pack things up pretty soon.
Of all these wires of egg shank. But of course, Lady Herman is drawn in, which is brilliant. So all this becomes covered behind the actual cartoon. So all we'll actually see is our cigar.
I want to talk to you about the acne burn. Hey, stop. Why are you running downstairs and getting your basic form? Oh.
Finally, a suction system was added to enable the arms to actually pick up objects in the environment. Now Zemeckis was able to bring uncanny realism to Roger's outrageous tomb lunacy.
No pain, no pain, no pain, no pain.
It's a little past 8. We might want to start to, unless you have other questions or whatever. I mean, I do have some more clips, but I think we covered just about everything. I did, there was Pete's Dragon. We've seen Pete's Dragon. And then I think I've covered just about everything. Yeah, Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
So I'll probably get ready to get going here.
I was going
to
say, are you running the 8:30? Or?
No, I have no idea who is. Okay. It was 8:30 is a
8:30.
They call it Fridays.
Yeah.
That's not me. Not that I know of, no. Someone is going to come here and start showing stuff, just like tomorrow morning. They're going to probably do the same thing in this room. I think it's this room, unless they're using the main room.
They might be using the main room.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
My understanding. Yeah, it's
yeah. So, no, I think it's an interesting subject, and there are a lot of examples out there, and I always try to think up some obscure stuff, being a little older than some people. But at the same time, of course, I miss out on stuff. Oh, what was that? Oh, don't you know about that? Oh, that was the 90s. I don't know about the 90s. I'm from, 50s, 60s, 70s, a little 80s and everything. Some of the more recent stuff,
Yeah.
But, some of the stuff that's out there now, I don't mind. But as you can tell, I'm a classic cartoons person with what I like, the different studios and things. But I'm not afraid to check something out, like whether it's Zootopia, the Tom and Jerry movie, Secret Life of Pets, those weren't too bad. Sing was not too bad. And I'm one of the few people who does not mind Rock Dog. If anyone out there saw Rock Dog and everyone, people, I think it was good. I like the two songs that they've had, Glorious and then Horizons, the new one. I thought it was good. I enjoyed Rock Dog.
This is my first hearing about it.
Rock Dog 2017, and then it came out a few months ago, Rock Dog 2, and I saw it online. We had the voice of Bodhi. I don't know if it was Luke Wilson who was in the first one, but they had someone else do him in the second one. And we had a panel at Anthrocon Online where they talked about voice acting, and the guy's name was Graham Hamilton or something. He was talking about it, and I mentioned I liked it. I just thought it was an interesting thing. It's one of these cases where you have some famous voices, and then the second one, they can't quite afford to bring everyone back. So his father in the original is J.K. Simmons, who, among other things, was Mayor Lionheart in Zootopia. He's in these farmers insurance commercials and other things. So they couldn't afford to get the same names, so they had to replace people.
Of course.
I thought it was okay, but again, a case of catching a movie at home. No need to go to the multiplex, just $2.99 on YouTube or whatever, or slightly more. But I did put it on my wish list. I always have people, for Christmas gifts and birthday gifts, we do an Amazon wish list. So I put it on there because maybe there'll be some extras or something. All right. That was good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.